It's 10:35 Newfoundland Standard Time. Stay tuned for The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine, with Paul Moth. You are listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, 520 on the long wave. This week on The Great Eastern.
I'll take Circle of Hell for $200.
There was a woman up there last night with an axe.
It was cathartic for the participants to see those books go up in flames.
It's not scaremongering. What's wrong with the truth?
Miserable little tin-pop, piss-pop dictator!
Good morning, Newfoundland and citizens of Canada. Welcome aboard The Great Eastern. My name is Paul Moth. On today's program, boxes from Britain, teenage documentaries, brouhaha at a Baywop writers' conference, infoban implants for Newfoundlanders, searing radio drama, and our usual mélange of music, letters, contests, and fun. All for you on The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine. A sad note to begin today's show. Newfoundland mourns the death of composer, essayist, sportsman, enigma, Hugh Cuva. Hugh was buried this past Wednesday in his favorite cape and jumpsuit after a private service in St. John's. BCN producer Stuart Richardson prepared this portrait of El Maestro.
Music surrounded him as a child. Hugh's mother Doris was widely known for her passion for the piano, and of course for her singular incompetence with the instrument.
Cuva biographer, Candace Swindon.
The Cuva piano dealership was, I believe, at one time the biggest in all the empire.
His father, Geza?
Oh, a suspicious figure. Dark. Eastern European. Scarcely ever seen out in the daylight. Naturally, there was talk.
I've heard it said that Doris could be quite a tyrant.
Oh, yes. Hugh, who slept with his mother, would wet the bed even into his 20th year. She would immediately wake him and force him to tune all the pianos in the shop.
And they all slept in pianos?
In pianos. Yes, that's well known.
Well, the Hollywood years were very unhappy ones for him. He really felt that he was prostituting his talent.
Screenwriter and longtime friend, Lawrence Winge.
And they were looking for high-concept composition at that time. A producer would say something like, Mozart meets Mancini, Nino Rota meets Berg, or some such rubbish. And I think that that's the explanation for his abominable behavior at the Academy Awards. Although my friends in Lotus Land tell me that it's not the first orifice that old Oscar has seen.
But you can understand Tom Cruise being so upset.
Certainly startled. but it's sad, because Hugh always had such a hard time making friends.
I think it was his deep loathing for the Baroque that brought you in a backwards kind of way to Bach.
Fellow post-minimalist, Arva Zeiler.
I would play some Bach, and he would begin to squirm, and his face would become contorted. Once he spat at me, and on another occasion, he soiled himself while listening to the Brandenburg Concertos. So it was a love-hate thing with this music. Deep passions.
Those were certainly Hugh's happiest days. You see, since he was a boy, Hugh had a tremendous fondness for professional wrestling. So when he was invited on the tour, naturally he jumped. Literally jumped on the opportunity.
Literally?
Yes, yes. When the promoter put the proposition to him, Hugh lunged at the man and wrestled him to the floor. I suppose he imagined it was an audition of sorts.
He was one of the good guys, for sure. He was a real fan favorite, you know. He wore a cape and tuxedo jumpsuit. He climbed to the ring and the fans would just go wild, you know, chanting, Maestro, Maestro, Maestro.
You were one of the more despised villains then.
Yes, I was. I was El Maestro's arch enemy, scientist. I wore like a lab coat and safety glasses. And I always had a test tube of deadly chemicals in my pocket, which I would throw at my victims.
Are you really a scientist?
No, I'm not a scientist, no.
He was very confused. Even though his ability to play the piano was never affected by the drugs and so on. But he would completely lose track of where he was. I think that when he heard the applause after the triumph at Roy Thompson Hall, he thought he was back in the ring. And I really don't think that he jumped on poor old Andrew Davis because he'd done such a lousy job conducting Sweaven. I think that he mistook the conductor for his old wrestling nemesis, Scientist. Yes, yes. He gave him quite an awful hammerhead, actually, or pile driver, I'm not sure what it's called, but yes, very, very, very effective wrestling move, actually. Davis was quite surprised. But it was very sad, very, very sad incident.
Like any great artist, Hugh Cooper had his demons. Drink, drugs, a boys choir.
My influences? Would you be surprised if I said, Eric Tatum? Obviously, you know, Horowitz. Gilles de Fishpoisson. Hugh Cooper. El Maestro. Dead at 57.
That's a beautiful piece, Stuart.
Oh, thank you, Paul. You know, for me, it's been a week full of surprising revelations about the life of Hugh Cooper. It really has.
Mm-hmm. You know, not many people know this, but Hugh and I were very close. We were in Los Angeles at the same time, and we had a mutual acquaintance in Laurel Canyon.
Sure, I guess two noobs away, you must have seen quite a bit of each other.
Yeah, we had some great times together. You know, when I bottomed out at the absolutely lowest point in my life, Hugh Cooper came forward and posted a bond. He helped me pick up the pieces.
Did you see much of him these last 2 years?
No, no, not since he helped me through the difficult period of my extradition.
But Hugh stayed on in L.A.
Yeah. He was never an easy guy to figure out, you know?
You know, talking to people these past couple of days, I really get the feeling that Hollywood was the only place in the world that offered him the artifice he needed to thrive as an artist.
Yeah, a brilliant, brilliant man. Mm. And a true friend. I only wish I could have been there for him. Let's go to some music.
Lucky's boat is painted green, a honey by his. Lucky's boat is painted green, the prettiest little boat you ever seen. Aha, me riddle I day. Lucky's boat got a fine forecuddy, a honey by his. Lucky's boat got a fine forecuddy, and every seam is chinked with putty. Aha, me riddle I day. Lucky's boat got high stuff sails, a honey by his. Lucky's boat got high stuff sails, and she was flashed with copper nails, a-ha, me riddle I day. I think, says Lucky, I'll make her bigger, a honey by his. I think, says Lucky, I'll make her bigger, I'll load her down with a one-clod jigger, a-ha, me riddle I day. Lucky's rolling out his grub, a honey by his. Lucky's rolling out his grub, one split pea in a 10-pound tub, a-ha, me riddle I day. A-ha, says Lucky, the blinds are down, a honey by his. A-ha, says Lucky, the blinds are down, me wife is dead and underground, a-ha, me riddle I day. A-ha, says Lucky, I don't care, a honey by his. A-ha, says Lucky, I don't care, get me another in the spring of the year, a-ha, a-ha, me riddle I day.
And it's time once again to venture into the entrails of the BCN building on Duckworth Street for a visit with Director of Radio and our informal archivist, Ish Lundrigan. Hello, Ish.
Hello, Pa.
What have you got on the reels for us this time?
Well, what I wanted to do today was to show that this recent recognition of Newfoundlanders as world-class writers and performers is really a renaissance.
That's true, you know. You've always said that.
Mm, so what I have this week is a 1954 BCN drama production of a play by Eric Vincent.
I wonder if that's the same Eric Vincent who taught me English in grade 10.
Well, it could be. Vincent, the founder of the Folk Realism School of Theater.
Yeah, yeah, that's him.
The stars were Louisa Seymour, who went on to make quite a name for herself on the Las Vegas stage, Robert Crown, that was his stage name, Rob Butt, and the young Philip Dean, who'd just come out from England, I believe, with a touring company doing Shakespeare, and fallen in love with the place. He brought so much experience to the local theater, Philip did.
This was a stage play then, adapted for radio, I guess, was it?
Yes. Now, that was Leo Stick. He produced all the drama here up in Studio D for drama.
So, what's the piece called?
Ocean of Pain.
From 1954. Classic Newfoundland radio drama, Ocean of Pain.
Playlets, radio drama on the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland. Brought to you by the Traders Group of Companies, supplying outports with the necessities and requisites. Today, a new play by Eric Vincent, Ocean of Pain, starring Louisa Seymour, Robert Crown, and introducing Philip Dean.
Mind that now, mind that. Henry, you'll be sorry when your father gets home. He'll blacken your arse for you. Oh, dear Savior. Dat we mind's eye. About the time me father was killed in the freakish summer squall of 32. Mind. Levi. What are you doing here?
Now, maid, I know you said never darken your door again.
I did. But she knows I didn't mean it, Levi. Levi, me Levi.
What's about the children, maid?
Here's the gun, Levi. Oh, doze it.
Maid, you know what you're saying.
Hey. What's this? Oh, God. Oh, I'm dead.
Levi, finishing up. Hitting again.
Maid, what are you saying?
Oh, Levi. Oh, I need you. Levi. You shot. Oh, really, Mochi.
Maid, this is not the way for people to live.
Wow.
What a way to start a show, eh, Paul? You can see the influences, Dante, Joyce, and so on. Now, here's the last scene. Levi and the maid are in a hospital. This has more of a Shakespearean mood to it.
Levi, is you there?
Maid, you are...
Oh, I wish you could talk. That little jaw only gets in the way.
Maid, where are you going?
Doctor, he must get better, eh?
Now, maid.
Oh, Doctor, I can't do it anymore.
Now, maid, get back in the wheelchair. You and many
Levi.
Maid. They shot her.
Levi.
Dear God. She shot him. Nurse, get those seagulls out of here quickly. No.
Great stuff. Stands the test of time.
You know, I think we might have done this play in the High School Drama Festival in 64. It really sounds familiar. It evokes a certain nausea. I mean that in a positive sense. You know, gothic, grotesque.
Well, Vincent's work reflects the collision between pre-Confederation Newfoundland and the 20th century. Some adapt and some don't. Now, of course, technically, we've come a long way with radio drama production, but the raw power of it is unbeatable.
Well, it certainly is raw. What about the performers?
Well, some people here took great offense at their characterization of Newfoundlanders, thought it reinforced negative stereotypes. Of course, four of them went on to have their own show on CBC TV. Were very successful, I understand.
Well, as usual, Ish, it's been extremely enlightening and invigorating. Thanks, and we'll see you again next week.
In the vault.
You're listening to The Great Eastern on the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland with your host, Paul Moss.
Kathleen Hanrahan's back with WordWorks. Kathleen's just returned from the tumultuous Writing Through Region conference that was held in Buena Vista this week.
I've come straight from the CN bus terminal, Paul.
This conference has been making news for months now, Kathleen. Writers of Bay, who organized the meeting, made it clear that writers and scholars from St. John's were not welcome.
Yes, Paul, and the St. John's writers were very upset about the whole thing. They accused the conference organizers of reverse regionism, and then they petitioned the Minister of Culture to have the funding for the conference revoked.
Well, clearly they got the money in the end.
Well, seeing the tempest brewing, the minister just fled the province.
I'm wondering now, Kathleen, you're a townie. How did you manage to attend?
Well, Paul, actually, I'm of mixed region.
You know, I thought I detected a little Bayvert somewhere in there. What about brown baggers from, say, Middle Cove or the Shore? Do they make the grade?
Well, as long as they write about their experience as Bay people in a Bay voice.
Cultural appropriation issue again. Hmm?
Exactly. The conference organizers don't think that townist writers should be working in the Bay voice.
How's she going by? No more.
Oh, and thankfully so, Paul.
Was the entire conference one endless bitch session, Kathleen? Was there anything constructive going on?
Oh, some good workshops and seminars.
Oh, boy, workshops. Always a crowd favorite.
There was Freeing the Bay Voice, Post-Bay Archetypes, mm-hmm. E.J. Pratt, Poet or High Priest of Townism, and Deconstructing the Jig and the Politics of Desire.
I only hope that we'll someday find ourselves in a post-towny, post-Baywop world, a world without hyphenated Newfoundlanders.
Paul, you are a dreamer.
But Kathleen, book burnings?
It was cathartic for the participants to see those books go up in flames, Paul. I mean, they represented years of misrepresentation.
The Shipping News won the Pulitzer Prize.
Well, that's the whole point, Paul.
And Filey Mowat, Howie Meeker.
And where are they from? And what are they writing about?
I don't know. I always loved those Orv Bayboy books when I was a kid, and the spots Orv got himself into.
Oh, Paul, I am so glad to see the last of characters like Orv. They reinforce the worst kind of stereotype.
Oh, come on, Kathleen. Remember the one where Orv comes to St. John's and the doctor?
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe you're right. But I see you have come back with a book from the conference.
Yes, I have, Paul. Now, this is a very interesting publication. It's very timely, too, considering the problems we're experiencing in rural Newfoundland right now. Mm-hmm. It's a collection of haiku poetry by Shirley Wilson called Bark, Birch, Bamboo.
I didn't know haiku was a traditional form of...
Now, Shirley Wilson has an impeccable pedigree, Paul. She's a Twillingate native with a deep family affiliation to the forest industry through her father and on her mother's side to the sea.
Well, let's hear some of Bark, Birch, Bamboo.
Okay. Here's a piece she wrote in response to the crisis in the Newfoundland fishery. I pull the trap. The trap is empty. I eat the trap.
Wow. Pretty powerful stuff.
Well, you know, Wilson is noted for her political awareness. She's not afraid to take on the issues that face all people. Now, here's another piece. It's a wonderful piece about memory. Mm-hmm. The robin knows its nest. The salmon finds its pool. Where am I?
Bark, Birch, Bamboo by Shirley Wilson.
It shows up on the top five. It's first week on the market, and it's at number one,
well,
Paul.
Well, that's a surprise.
Oh, I'm sorry to note, Paul, that your rocky road to recovery has dropped off the list.
I hope this doesn't sound like sour grapes, but from the top 10 to the remainder, it stacks in just 12 weeks. Something fishy is going on here.
Oh, I don't know. Publishing is a tricky business, Paul.
I'm bummed out about this. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that the radio dramatization of Rocky Road on Playlets last week gets savaged by the critics, and then this week my book sales go through the floor.
Oh, I like the Playlets treatment.
It was much too explicit. I was offended, and it was my life. Anyway, I shouldn't be saying anything here about that.
Now, racing up the charts to number two is the Bung Songbook.
We'd hoped to have Bung on the program this week, but we couldn't get them in during BCN business hours, and not to mention the appearance fee.
Do you think they can deal with all this newfound fame?
They're a tough bunch, so, well, let's hope so. You know, I remember when that young Waylon fella, their singer, he used to pack groceries for my mother, and now he leads one of our most important young bands and dresses in women's clothing.
Now, only on stage, Paul.
Number three?
Big Book of Shoes, which would probably have done better if it hadn't sold out so early in the week.
You're not serious.
Oh, yes. Number four is Ron Pumphrey's latest Who's Who and Why in Newfoundland.
Huh. Can I see it?
Sorry, Paul.
This program is being carried nationally by the CBC, for God's sake. You'd think I'd rank a mention.
Mm.
Oh, look at this. Kathleen Hanrahan, formerly Kathleen Grady, Kathleen Black, Kathleen Walsh, Kathleen James. What? Two full pages.
Well, I've been around, Paul.
I'm glad you said that, Kathleen. And number five.
Rhyme and Reason.
Now more than ever. That's the top five. Next week, we'll be exploring new Newfoundland erotica. Tell me more, Kathleen.
Well, I gotta tell you, I've seen this stuff, Paul, and it is hot. I mean, I was red. Some of the fiction is just fantastic and very stirring. And as for the photography, well, look, have a look yourself.
Wow.
Hmm?
This is, Kathleen, you'll be back reading a new Newfoundland erotic work, and I love it when you read to me.
And I love reading to you, Paul, so until next week.
That's a Steamy Word Works next week with Kathleen Hanrahan.
What our struggles up and in the suns on the hill, and we can laugh about it now. I don't recall much at all, I'm afraid I probably will. Well, you know the penitent soul, I will apologize. Gracious to me.
Drive, a St. John's group just about to release their first CD, Prevail, and the song was called This Impractical Joke. Folks, we're in the eighth straight week of this particular What's That Noise from Newfoundland contest, and this is the longest stretch we've ever gone without a correct answer. If you think you know what this noise is, write us at the Great Eastern, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, and our postal code is A1C1H5. Tom, give her a spin, please. So, down into the mailbag I descend. I'm going to pull out an envelope, and this one is postmarked from Jane, Alberta, and it's from Emma Alexandra Wise, or Wheeze. Wheeze? Anyway, Emma says, "Hi, Paul. Caught your show while putting the grocery bags into the car last Saturday and thought I recognized the sound. It sounds like a piano being thrown down over a hill. Perhaps Signal Hill." Emma Alexandra Wheeze from Jane, Alberta. You are correct. This is the sound of the flying Aeolian piano being thrown down the Signal Hill at the end of the Sound Symposium in 1984. Tom. And Emma Weiss, you win a beautiful BCN rowing jacket. And hey, what the hey, I'll throw in a copy of my own Rocky Road to Recovery, even autograph it for you. We have your address here, and it's almost in the mail. That's fantastic. A winner, and a Canadian winner at that. It also means that we have to start a brand new What's That Noise from Newfoundland. I'll tell you about the prize in a moment, but first, let's hear the new mystery noise, Tom.
It's not scaremongering. What's wrong with the truth?
The truth
now, what's
is,
wrong with the truth?
The truth is that the six what's or seven men that are designated are not allowed to drink.
You know, just because I'm shocked.
Think you know what that noise is? Write us and tell us. And now I get to tell you what our special new prize is. Fantastic prize. A chance to visit Canada's happy province, Newfoundland. Yes, that's right. An all expenses paid 2-week vacation for you and a friend to Newfoundland, including airfare to and from Toronto. Also in this grand prize is a free meal at Chez Ed, one of St. John's finest restaurants. It's quite true. I ate there last night. Very romantic. A wonderful package of coupons redeemable for discounts at many fine retail outlets here in town, and the winners will stay at the lovely new Grange Palmer Hotel on the St. John's waterfront. As a bonus, I'll take the lucky couple on a personalized walking tour of my St. John's. All this wonderful booty is brought to you by the fabulous folks at Atlantic Charters, and it can be yours if you correctly identify this noise from Newfoundland. Mr. Codner, please.
It's not scaremongering. What's wrong with the truth?
The truth
now, what's
is,
wrong with the truth?
The truth is that the six
what's
or seven men that are
here?
Designated are not allowed to drink.
You know, just because I'm shocked.
Know the noise? Write us at the Great Eastern, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C 1H5.
Good morning. I'm Paula Duty. Here are some programming highlights for this afternoon on the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland. At 12:30, it's Playlets. Episode 7 of The Rocky Road to Recovery, featuring Philip Dean. This week, our hero comes to in Guadalajara, only to find that he's been relieved of a kidney by the Oregon Banditos. Join Chef Paul Benoit at 1:30 for Paul's Pot. This week, Chef Benoit continues his exploration of world cuisine with special guest Maurice Gesso, host of BCN's Interred. Morris prepares special ceremonial dishes learned while he was a missionary in the former British protectorate of Ugabamba. At 2 o'clock, a special Woodstock anniversary edition of The Whistler, as Benjamin Humphrey whistles selections by Jimi Hendrix, Country Joe and the Fish, Joe Cocker, and Richie Havens. And this evening at 7, Jock and Jill offers a look at sport in Newfoundland. Today is violence destroying Newfoundland curling. My name is Paula Duty. Join me at 5 o'clock for the BCN 5 o'clock news. You're listening to the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, all Newfoundland radio.
This week on Jock and Jill, Bonspiel Bloodbath, standing them up at the hog line, Newfoundland's new wave of curling violence.
Don't go pointing the finger at me, Yubi. It was getting rough for our top sweeper out there, and he had to be protected, right? Use the term enforcer if you want.
Is Bones Dubois a Newfoundlander?
His maternal grandfather was from Bishop.
But he curled Major Junior in the Quebec League.
Take a look around, Yubi. We used to get 200-300 to a tournament match. Since we got Dubois, the stands are packed. It's good for the game, boy.
Hey, that guy, he provoked me. He coming in on my rock. You want to come into the house, there's a price you got to pay for that.
Where are you from, Bones?
Mission Fall, that right?
How do you explain one rock ending the curling careers of three men?
I got no comment on that thing.
Did you ever curl in Saskatchewan under the name Sally Bouchard?
I don't know nothing about no Sally Bouchard.
Were you not, before your operation, Black Sally Bouchard,
no.
And banned
no.
from women's curling no. in the Western League?
No, Sally Bouchard, she's a different gal altogether. Nothing to do with me.
Bonspiel Bloodbath. Is violence destroying curling in Newfoundland? Saturday at 7 on BCN's award-winning Jock and Jill with me, Hubie Hendricks.
Listeners may remember that 3 weeks ago, we spoke to Dr. Peter Sains of Newcastle University about the Great Eastern, the steamship from which this show takes its name. During the course of our chat, Dr. Sains said this.
If I ever see any fittings or what have you from the Great Eastern come up for sale, you know, the sort of thing you see once in a while at auction, I'll pick it up and send it along to you.
Now, we've received a box from Britain, from Newcastle, and we're assuming that Dr. Sains has kept his word. It's quite heavy for such a small box. I love surprises, don't you? Now, let's see. Gee, it's several rusted gears and toothed wheels interlocking. They seized up, I guess, a bit, but at one time they... Yeah, what's this now in the center? Cut between two of the gears is it's a ring. It is a ring. It's gold with a small ruby. I think it's a ruby. It's quite Eastern in design, from India, I would guess. Now, how that ring got in there is quite a... it looks like there's some ivory in here, too. Or bone, I would guess. Oh, my God. It's pointing at me. Here's Figgy Duff. Our prevaricating panel on political culture is back again. With me in the studio are Ariel Flint, host of BCN's Show Trial, and J. Richard Kandow, noted pundit and pollster. Joining us on the line, this week from Kingston, Ontario, is Carl Johnson, Val Manis Professor of Political Economy at the University of Newfoundland at St. John's. Good morning to you all.
Good morning, Paul.
The first issue this week, the announcement that prisoners at Her Majesty's Penitentiary here in St. John's will now have electronic monitoring implants, allowing them to serve their sentences under unpoliced house arrest. Progress or one more circle of hell?
I'll take circle of hell for $200.
There's really nothing to discuss here, Paul. These people broke the law, and worse, they got caught. The only question now is how to strip them of all their rights at the lowest possible cost. And this solution is the best I've heard of in some time. Go with it.
Oh, easy for you to say, Richard, especially considering that your own Kandow Corps is the exclusive distributor of these devices in Newfoundland.
Have you been reading my mail, Ariel? In any case, the prisoners themselves are 100% behind it. What do you have to say about that now?
The penal system here is a Victorian nightmare, Paul. Many prisoners might prefer to do their time at home, but I still think that surgically implanted microchips is going just a bit too far.
Why?
Come on, this has all the earmarks of a pilot project that could well be extended to schools, welfare recipients, maybe even the whole populace.
You have been reading my mail. In any case, this is merely an experiment with the Department of Corrections, and it has no bearing on the welfare implants or homeschooling implants. Next issue.
Another American scallop boat fishing inside the 200-mile limit seized by the Federal Department of Fisheries.
Mm-hmm.
Are the feds finally taking action, or is it simply a public relations ploy?
Mm. You know, is there really any difference between the two anymore?
This is just the beginning, Paul. Once the limit is increased to 400 miles, that's when the fun really begins.
Oh, you're dreaming in technicolor, Richard, if you think the federal government of Canada has the guts to extend jurisdiction to 400 miles.
Not the feds. I'm talking about the Newfoundland government.
Oh, that would be a first. I thought Newfoundlanders only surrender jurisdictions.
Post-Canada scenario, Ariel. Keep your head in the sand if you want.
Richard, wouldn't a 400-mile limit mean that Newfoundland was claiming sovereignty over Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and much of Quebec?
These are traditional Newfoundland homelands that we were driven out of by the Canadian wolf.
I'm sure they'll greet you with open arms in the Gaspé, Richard.
Maybe not with open arms. Maybe on their knees with their hands behind their head. I'll tell you, we got a little treat in store for Marshal Perezal once we start moving into...
Perhaps I should say here that I'm a member of the Parti Québécois.
What?
I thought that, well, you know, I should try to reach out to my Quebec brethren and make an effort to understand.
Paul, you're telling me you agree with their policies?
No, I don't really read French, so most of the literature is over my head. Think of it as a gesture.
I've often wondered what side you were on, Paul.
Last time I heard Richard say that to someone, they had to leave the province.
Oh, come on, he was planning on leaving anyway.
Now, what about the startling revelations in Khartoum that international terrorist archenemy Carlos the Jackal Sanchez hid out on various occasions in Brigus, right here in Conception Bay?
So much for our vaunted security intelligence service. First, they're paying one of their agents $50,000 a year to establish a Canadian Nazi organization.
A bargain.
Now we find out they had the most wanted person in the entire world right under their noses for years. Tax money well spent there, eh?
Oh, Carlos, you know, he had a great knowledge of the local customs. Fabulous storyteller. Easy to get along with the people up in Brigus, thought he was just fantastico.
But there have been an awful lot of coincidences of this nature in Newfoundland lately, don't you think?
Like what?
Well, Carlos and Brigus, George Bush fishing up at Craig Dobbins.
What a trip that was.
Just as Clyde's having trouble pushing through the hydro sell-off, German Air Force holding a hangar fest in Labrador, and the weather this summer has been unusually hot and muggy.
Conspiracy theories really don't do anyone any good.
Are these connections too crazy? Am I the only one who sees them? Richard, what do you make of it?
Well, I think it's kind of ridiculous, Paul, to see any connection between these isolated coincidences.
Well, the connection seems reasonable.
Good then. That wraps it up for our panel this week. I'd like to thank Ariel Flint and J. Richard Kandel for their usual wit and their wisdom. And, Carl, I understand that you'll finally be with us in the studio next week. We're all looking forward to it.
Yes,
goodbye to you all.
Goodbye, Paul.
Oh, and next week,
of course,
more on the explicit photographs that reveal Clyde Wells' alternative lifestyle. That's next week on our panel on political culture.
The Great Eastern, great radio, coast to coast in Newfoundland, on the Broadcasting Corporation of Newfoundland, BCN, 520 on the long wave.
Hello, I am Morris Jessa. Join me this Sunday for Interred. Our scheduled feature on catering for the big day has been preempted by the sudden death of Newfoundland composer and sportsman, Hugh Kuva. We will discuss preparations for Mr. Kuva's final bow and perhaps finally put to rest rumors that El Maestro was buried in his Bösendorfer and cape. That's a special Hugh Kuva special on Interred Sunday here on BCN with me, Morris Jessa.
Every morning for the past 2 years, I've been greeted by four words spray-painted in black on the facade of the BCN building here on Duckworth Street. Play the Clash. At first, authorities made an effort to paint over or to scrub out the graffiti, but within 24 hours, the same words would reappear. Play the Clash. Now it's just a part of the building. But, Clash fan, after all this time, I'm pretty sure no one here has ever heeded your desperate cry for help. Until today, whoever you are, I hope you're listening, because here are those rockin' boys from London, The Clash.
They offered me the offer, cover me the shop. They say I better take anything they got. Do you want to make me at the BBC? Do you want to be? Do you really want to be a top? Opportunities are one that never knocks. Every job they offer used to keep you at the dock. Career opportunity, the one that never knocks. I hate the army and I hate the RAF. I don't wanna go fighting in the jungle. I hate the seven sides of this room. I won't open that bomb for you. Career opportunity.
money, the one that never knock. Every job they offer used to keep you at the dock. Career opportunity, the one that never knock. Opportunity, the one that never knocks. Every job they offer used to kick you out the door. Career opportunity, the one that never knocks. Career, 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 and I never gonna knock.
This has been Career Week here at the BCN, and we were thrilled to be able to introduce a young high school student to the world of broadcasting. With me here in the studio is Judy Phillips, a grade 10 honors student from Alderdice Collegiate. Welcome to the Great Eastern, Judy.
Well, thank you, Mr. Moss.
What attracted you to radio, Judy?
Well, we have a station at the school.
A station at the school?
Yeah, FM.
Huh. We had a little mimeographed monthly at my school, the St. Finian's World Courant. Nothing as sophisticated as a stereo radio station.
Well, I couldn't get on the school television station. I'm sure it's going to set my career blueprint back at least 16 months.
Well, I guess it's a thrill then to be right in the thick of it here, the excitement of breaking news, deadlines, lineup meetings.
It's okay, I guess.
Using the facilities here, you've put together a little radio documentary. You recorded, edited, and mixed this all by yourself.
Yeah, I also composed and performed the music.
Wow.
Well, I had to do it all on my synclavier because of the budget restrictions and overages incurred during the concept development.
Must have been quite exciting, working in a professional situation with all this professional equipment.
Well, we've gone all digital at school.
Aren't we digital here at BCN?
No, you guys only have analog equipment.
Really?
Yeah, I'd read about it before, though.
So, what are the elements of your piece, Judy? Is it mostly interviews or what?
It's all sound I captured with microphones hidden throughout the building.
You hid microphones throughout the building?
No, they were already there. Mr. Lundrigan said I could use them.
Fascinating. And your little documentary, it's called...
BCN, Radio's Missing Link.
Charming little title.
Alderdice Collegiate presents a J. Phillips documentary, BCN, Radio Missing Link.
Are people keeping the numbers from me or what? If anyone should know that our ratings are slipping, it's me. I'm the host. Could you hold on for a second? Jerry, if you want root beer, press line. And these focus group questions are passing out. What is the thing about Paul that annoys you most? Of course the results are going to look bad. You were talking to Ish. I didn't think he had a phone at the cabin. Oh, cellular, right. What's the number? Why not? He said not to give it to me. Damn it.
Morris Jessel in the building, would he please go to the receiving area to sign for a package? Morris Jessel?
Now, gentlemen, I can't remember having written this particular memo. Who do you suppose would forge my signature?
Well,
we did.
Uh-huh. Now, who was behind giving out J. Richard Kandow's home address on the Great Eastern last week? Yeah, I thought so. Well, you'll be happy to know there was a woman up there last night with an axe. She's probably going to have to move. Did Moss know anything about this?
No.
Poor fools.
Oh, you bumping idiots, you clods, you disgusting little insects, you barbarians.
What's the big deal, Julio? Everybody likes whistling.
I am a serious composer. It was for solo piano. There is a man whistling now. What is that?
Hey, Benjamin Humphreys may not be a big deal in Italy, but over here in Newfoundland, man, he's a legend.
I am from Spain, you stupid Nufi.
Oh, that's it. You just crossed the line, buddy. I'm out of here.
Wait, no, come back. Oh, Dios.
Paul, go to the stairs. Here, try that on for size. So, this is bulletproof, eh?
Amazingly light. What is it, Kevlar?
Not exactly bulletproof. It's heavy knit.
But first you ex-nayed a bodyguard, and now this.
Sorry, Paul, but money, you know, it's just not there.
What do you suggest I do, then? Jesus, we're talking about a threat on my life.
Well, you could meet his demands.
What? And quit the show?
I want my key back.
What? Are you saying it's over?
I packed up all your clothes and I sent them right back to your office.
Well, we'll always have that filthy weekend in Badger's Key, Ariel.
Oh, you are such a jerk. Oh, by the way, there were two weird guys over looking for you last night.
What, not a big Polynesian guy with a...
Yeah, and a really foul-mouthed dwarf.
Jesus, I'm a dead man. Ariel, you've got to help me.
Sayonara, loser boy.
Hi, Ish, look, I know I wasn't supposed to get this number, but... Yeah, I sold the 3 more ads to the GM dealer. Look, but I wanted to talk about the... Yeah, the paint's dry, you'll love it. Look, people are holding things back from me, and... What? No, as far as I know, Tom said the tape machine's still working. Listen, Ish, it's about the ratings of the show and these encounter sessions. Hello, Ish? Miserable little tin-pot, piss-pot dictator!
Paul?
Oh, geez, Morris, don't sneak up on me like that.
Sorry, this is a bad time.
No, but look, if you want root beer, press line.
By appointment to Her Majesty, purveyors of this land, Newfoundlanders since 1934.
Lady Margaret was sitting in a wrong Scottish store when she heard it has man grown. Who is there? Who is there? Lady Margaret, she said. Who is there? Who is there? Said she. All it is my father Thomas, she said. All it is my brother John. Or it is my own sweet William, dear, from Scotland home again. Or is not your father Thomas, she said, or is not your brother John. For it is your own sweet William, dear, from Scotland home again. Did you bring to me any gold or purse? Did you bring to me any ring? Did you brought to me any two things at all, like a true lover to bring? I didn't bring to you any gold or purse, and didn't bring to you any ring. For I brought to you a white linen sheet to wrap your dead body in. Did you have any place at the head of your grave? Did you have any place at your feet? For if you have no place for me at all, I will lay down here and die. My father is buried at the head of my grave, and my mother, she's buried at my feet. And a three little house, I'm waiting for me, waiting for my poor soul today. One of them is for my drunkenness, and the other is for my pride. And the other is for courting a comely man, singing out too late by night. Good night. Good night, Lady Margaret, he said. Good night, said she. For I hope when we meet together again, in heaven a boat will be.
The late Emile Benoit with Lady Margaret. You know, they say a change is as good as a rest. And we've rung in a few changes this week. There's the death of Hugh Couva. Certainly was a change for Hugh, gone to his final rest. And I wonder how Hugh the great, el maestro, the concert pianist, the classical composer, and the wrestling world good guy, reflects Newfoundland and his Newfoundland heritage. Here's a guy who learned everything he knew in Newfoundland, and then took the music world, the film world, and the square ring by storm. Yet he died in poverty and anonymity. What is it about us Newfoundlanders, eh? Jacks of all trades and masters of none? What does it mean to be a Newfoundlander in the late 20th century? What drives us? Newfoundland, full of the good, the bad, and the just plain but ugly. Ah, Newfoundland, Canada's happy province, an island of legends, a land of vast difference, a land, quite frankly, in shock and recovery, a land much like myself. But we might rise again. The cod could come back. The government may get out of debt. Hibernia might not be a giant white elephant. We should jail the government hooligans or send them up against the wall. Pigs will fly, and Morris Jesso will not have the last word on Hugh Cuva, because Hugh will return, and so will Newfoundland, and so will Paul Moth, and so will you. Well, that's another show for another week. It's time to say goodbye. And to our Canadian listeners, this is a final adieu. Thanks for all the letters and phone calls, most of which have been supportive. I'd like to acknowledge the whole crew at the CBC who helped us out, and there are so many that we can't name them all. We are extraordinarily grateful to the BCN's legal team, E. Lloyd Rich, Stephen Palmer, E. Mac Furlong, Glenn Tilley, and Thomas Ronan, who, frankly, made the Great Eastern possible for this country. To our regular Newfoundland audience, we return to our normal 2.5-hour program length next Saturday. There'll be an in-depth tribute to Hugh Cuva, our live concert featuring Joni Mitchell, who'll join me in the studio, plus our regular features. If you'd like to be in touch, our phone number is area code 709-576-5389. Or you can write us at the Great Eastern, 342 Duckworth Street, St. John's, Newfoundland, A1C1H5. For engineer Tom Codner and director of radio Ish Lundrigan, I'm Paul Moth. See you again next week on The Great Eastern, Newfoundland's cultural magazine.
Thursday night at 9:00. Some material not suitable for young listeners.
What an honor.